Today we're going to talk about the word remain. Some Bibles call the word abide. And I thought, God, what does this word really mean? And I started to look at the dictionary, I look at the Google, and the Google said, Google, pay for our Google. He said that continue to exist, especially after other similar or related people or things have ceased to exist. This is Google. Stay in the place that that one has been occupying. Next thing he said, continue to possess a particular quality or fulfill a particular role. Be left over after others and other parts have been completed, used, or dealt with. How amazing is that? Google, and you can use these words and you can actually make a message out of it. Because it says what the gospel is doing. After Jesus left, his disciples just went on and did what Jesus did. They didn't stop doing. They remained where Jesus left them and they kept on doing what Jesus was doing. So today we're going to read in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And we're going to read from verse 9 to 17. Everyone's got their iPhones and iPads and some Bibles open. Okay. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have spoken these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my command, love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you slaves anymore, because a slave doesn't know what the master is doing. I've called you friends, because I have made known to you everything I've heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I choose you. I appointed you that you should go out and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask in the name of the Father, he will give you. This is what I command. Love one another. We have a lady there by the name of Kunlati. She's probably in her late 60s, early 70s. And she came to know Jesus about a year ago. She went through a very difficult financial situation. And then one of the church members invited her to go to the cell group. So she went to the cell group. And that Sunday they talked about prayer. And they said, she heard what we were saying and just couldn't believe it. So she went home and she lived in a little shack because of a financial situation. She lost her house and many things. So she lived in a little, it's a house, but the roof is not very sturdy. And if you look at everything, it's not very sturdy. So she went home and there was a storm. And she said the wind was blowing. And she felt, she was so scared that the roof's going to blow off. And then she asked God, God, please, if you are real, prove yourself, let this wind stop. She said it was like the fan was on and you switch the fan off, whoop, everything just stopped and quieted down. That's a revelation for God. And then a while ago, she was visiting with her brothers and sisters, and the one brother came to her and said to her, we know that you became a Christian. And he said, for that reason, you must either come back to Buddhism, or you must come, or you won't be part of a family. She said to him, I can't. I can't go back to what I know about Buddhism. I've got to stay with God. I see who God is. I want to remain with God because I know who my God is. He went out, and I don't know where he went, and he came back, and he said to her, and while he was gone, she was praying, and he came back and said to her, I don't know why, but we're not going to reject you. We're going to keep you as part of our family. We're not going to throw you out as part of our family. You can be part of our family and be a Christian. And just for that, she stayed with God. She didn't give God up when the family had pressure on her. And that's the thing of remaining. Just remain where God wants us. So we're going to look at five different things this morning. And the first one we're going to look at is just because of love. If you look what Jesus has done for us and the price that he's paid for us, it's such an amazing thing because of love. If you look at God to let Jesus go because he loved people so much, he said, I'll let my son go to come and do this earth to suffer an excruciating death just for us. And all the only thing why he did it is because of love. But many of us, where we came from different parts of the world, we came from different backgrounds, and we're looking and saying, God, why did you choose us? Why did you choose us? Because of love. There's no other reason. When Andre said this morning we're going to sing Amazing Grace, I just read the words, and it's so amazing that God will take us out of the world where we were, and he'll put us into a family, a big family. I said this morning as well, if I go to South Africa, if I am Thailand, if I come here, you're just part of a big family. And the most amazing thing about the whole thing, last year we went to Doha, and we took Bim and Noi with us. Some of you have met them, some of you have seen them, have heard of them. And the most amazing thing that they said, they look at everything and they said, wow, these people's got so much money. And what stands out for them is the family. They said just the family, they never been out. Bim went out once out of Thailand, but Noi has never flown in her life. She's never been on the plane. She got there, and what stands out? God's family. They saw many people there from every country, and that stands out. It's God's family. So God takes us from where we were, put us in the family, and say, you're part of me. But one verse we also said this morning, that God takes the orphans and make them sons and daughters. How amazing is that? Sons and daughters of a living God, that we can have a relationship with a living God. It's so awesome. And if we look at God and the way that he forgive our sin when we trespass, I'm always thinking of Peter. How many mistakes Peter made? How many mistakes? He will come and God said to him, get behind me, Satan. He will stop what Jesus was going to do. And he said, and Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. And Jesus just changed around and he still used him. And then he denied Jesus 3 times. And Jesus made him a leader. Jesus made him the leader of all the apostles. Because Jesus used people like us. He used a person like me to go and bring the gospel to a place like Thailand. I've never in my life preached. I'm also always working with my hands. I love working with my hands. And God used anyone, any place. Because he loved people so much that he'll send somebody to a place for a certain purpose to go and do what he called them to do. My second thing is, number two is, keep my commands. Jesus said, you will keep my commands. I will love you if you keep my commands. How amazing is this? Mark talked about the law last week as well. That the law was there for the people to be kept and for people to keep them in a place that they could abide in the law. But then Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. How amazing is that? If you love me. So if we made a mistake, we go back to Jesus and we confess our sin, and nothing changes. Nothing has ever changed us. If we love Jesus, I will not do what I used to do because I don't want to break the heart of Jesus. Keep my commands because of love. In Romans 13, verse 8 to 10, said, do not owe anybody anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. And whatever other commandment are all summed up in this: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. So any of those things, if you look at adultery, it's out of lust. If you love Jesus, you wouldn't commit adultery. If you commit a murder, it's just because there's two situations now in Thailand that we've heard on the news, that a guy came two different people came to their family, and something happened in the family, and he got angry. One got angry with his grandparents or somebody, with his in-laws, and the other person got angry with his wife, and the family were together. He walked in with a gun, and he just shot them, shot the whole family. What does that bring? It just brings so much division, so much pain, so much heartache, just because he made a decision to kill somebody. He didn't love. Do not steal. If we steal, we don't care about the people we steal from. It brings heartache to the people, but we don't care. Do not covet. Oh, we want something from somebody else. How many problems has that caused in the relationship? If we want something that somebody else has had, because we don't love. We don't want, because it's a very selfish thing. Covet, I want what you have. I always use somebody in our church to bring, if I bring a message, try to bring an illustration. So I always take the cell phone because it's very important for those people. I said, so they understand what I'm saying. So anything of this, what we do, is because we are selfish, we don't have love, and if because we have love, we won't do those things. And then in Matthew it says, and love is not always easy. Sometimes it's easy to love certain people. I always say it's easy to love the lovables. It's easy to love the people in the church because they are so friendly and they are so good. But you go out there and you hear all the people swearing and doing things. It's not so easy. It's not easy. And then the Bible says in Matthew 5:44, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. How many times have us in our life been done wrong to? And Jesus said, love those people, forgive them and love them. It's not easy. Love is easy when it's easy, but when it's not easy, it's not so easy. Number three, you will have joy. Verse 11 said, Jesus talked about that you have joy. How amazing is that? If I look, we go through different things in our life. Sometimes we go through a season that things are good. Yeah. And then it's easy to have joy. Sometimes we go through difficult times, not so easy to have joy. But what is so beautiful, I'm part of the prayer warriors, and I get all the WhatsApp messages from people praying, and we pray for Dennis, and it's so amazing to see when people go through difficult times, that they, to have their joy. Maybe they're sad, but to have the joy in Jesus, to know that whatever happens, Jesus is in control, that he'll take us through those things. And that's the most important thing. We've had seasons in our life in Thailand that it's not been easy. A season that we said, God, why do you take us here? We miss the family. We miss our friends. It's not so easy. People don't understand us. But you know, God, this is where you want. And you have that peace in your life. But know that you are where you need to be for that season. So to have that joy. I used the illustration a few weeks ago. I said to, sometimes we go through a difficult situation and it feels like we're in a hole and we don't see anything around us. It's just black and we see, what are we going to do? There's no way out. But if we're in a hole and we look up, we always see the light. And that light is Jesus. He will always give us hope. And the most amazing thing in those difficult times, I always say that when things are easy, it's amazing that you don't hear God so easy. But when you are going through a difficult time, how much more do we have the desire and the need to hear the voice of God? And it's in those times that it's difficult. Nobody likes to go through a difficult time. But it's in those times when you go through a difficult time that you hear God. And it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Kunlati. She's a single mother. She's got three kids. One is 19. The boy is 19. He's busy studying at TAFE, college similar to TAFE. The girl is finishing year 12 now. I mean, they have a little six-year-old boy. So things for her, it's not easy. So she got to know Jesus about 2 years ago, and her whole life changed around. But she always says she had no hope. No hope. And now she has hope. And she said many times that she said to go through a situation where she's got no money. No money. And then She said the other day she went to, she didn't have money, she had to pay a few things. So she went to the ATM and she put a card in the ATM and the balance showed zero. She said, God, what will I do? And she put the card in again, she checked again, showed zero. So she said, God, what will I do? I need to pay money. She went home and she waiting on God. And she said, God, please help me in this situation. I've got a problem. She went home and a little later, a sister arrived. And the sister, she said, what are you doing there? Because the sister is working in the city. She said, she don't know. For some reason, I just felt I had to come to you today and I have to give you this money. She said, she didn't ask her. The sister didn't know her situation. But she in her problem in the time that she knew she had to have the money. She was asking God and trusting God for the money. So God came through her sister, gave her the money. Her sister gave her the money, got in the car, and went back to the city for no reason. So we've got many, many amazing stories like this. Just thanking God for everything. So on our cell group, when we have cell groups on this, on Sundays, we give people chance for to share in their lives. And we came to cell group at the stage where we had to cut the people down from sharing for too long, especially Kulati. So she will come and you will, we will work on a certain subject and we try to keep the people to the subject. And then she will, like just a weekend before we went, I had to stop her and said, Kulati, not today. So she had to, she will say, said, what can you tell me about the scripture we just read? What do you see God, how do you see God in this? And then the moment she starts, she will say, oh, my life has been so difficult. So she go, oh, like her old testimony. Because her life has been so changed that they can't stop sharing about what God has done. The one guy, so I'll just tell some stories in between. So the one guy, Kun Tong Suk and Tong Chai, it's a man, they live close to Kulati in the same village. She also got to know Jesus in the last probably a year or so. So she said, we were talking about prayer, and once a week I said, but we, you know what? God, the Bible say we must pray all the time. And she say, you know what? I do it. Well, if I work, whatever I do, I pray. And I know God listens. God hears me. So we laughed about a month ago when we went to cell group. Her husband say, he doesn't like this, that his wife is praying all the time. Because one day, he listened to what she was praying. And she prayed, God, please help my husband that he gets work so he can provide for us. And I don't say he's lazy, but I don't think he loves work. So what he's doing is driving a van and taking kids to school. So since he started a year to pray, he said he hasn't stopped having work. He said he's got to work every day, and he doesn't like it when she's praying because he knows that God listens to her prayer. So when they pray all the time and they trust God all the time. Okay, the next one is number four, laying down your life. Jesus said, Jesus used to call his disciples, he used to call them servants. And at this stage, Jesus changed. He said, you are not servants anymore. I'm calling you friends. Yeah. How beautiful is that? You're not servants anymore. I used to call them how to serve other people, how to serve. But he said, you're not servants anymore. You're my friends. How amazing is to come over from a place where you are a servant and then you become a friend. Sometimes I don't understand things. Sometimes. Many times. My brother got saved just a little after me, and he served God beautiful. And then he went to New Zealand and he went to South Africa. So a few times he had this thing. So, but he went and stayed there for a year, and then he came back and he said God called him to South Africa, and then God called him back to New Zealand. So, but the sad thing in that time where he had freedom in God, where he experienced the grace of God, he went back and he got involved with a group of people that are Everything is about the Old Testament, about keeping the law, every part of the law. And it's so sad for me to see him when there is freedom, but he will go back to the law and just follow the law every step of the way. So we tried to talk to him, but he wouldn't listen. So he opened a Facebook group, and every time I unfollow him, he will put me back onto it. Because the things that they're talking about is just unheard of. And we will send him messages, and we say, listen, how can you go back, receiving grace, how can you go back to the Old Testament and just follow the Old Testament? We just couldn't understand it. But he's not... Let's not go over him anymore. So I just don't understand how he can do that, because it's so amazing that Jesus laid down his life for him, paid the price for him, gave him freedom in grace, and then he chose to go back to following the law. It is so sad. So Jesus said, I don't call you friends anymore, servants anymore, I call you friends. And the beautiful thing is about this, Jesus said, I will lay down my life for my friends. How beautiful. How beautiful. So it's so easy to do something. Say if Andre is in trouble, say maybe he's busy drowning. He can't swim and he's busy drowning. And it's so easy to go and save him. But if you're not a friend, if you saw somebody else, somebody that you don't know, is it always so easy to do it for somebody that you don't know? And Jesus did it not just for his friends. He did it for everyone, for sinners, for people for anyone. But for his friends, he said, I call you friends. And what stands out for me in this whole part is that Jesus said that I will tell you the things that my Father is telling me, I will tell you. How beautiful. Before he wouldn't share, you'll share things, but he said, I will tell you everything that my Father said. So they come from a place where it's a servant for people that came from South Africa and maybe from other countries where they had servants and laborers. If you look at a laborer, they don't live in the master's house. If you look at the laborer, they stay far away from the house. They live in their own homes somewhere. The master wouldn't share the secrets with them. They will never go and eat with the master. They will never go have fun with the master. Never tell jokes together and enjoy the master's company. But if you're a friend, your friends invite each other to a party, invite each other to go and have a barbecue or a braai, and they will talk about things. They will share things that they will not share with anybody else. And this is what Jesus said. You are my friends, and the things that God shares with me, I'll share with you. You are trustworthy, I can share with you. How amazing is that? How amazing. And then Jesus said, I will lay down my life for you. Not just being my friends, I'll lay down my life for you. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8 says, while we were still helpless, at the appointed moment, Jesus died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person. Though for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How amazing is that? While we're still sinners. The last one, number 5. We will produce fruit. There's two, I always say when we talk about fruit, there's two different kinds of fruit in our lives. One of the fruits is our own life. How do we live our own life? Is our own life changing the way that God wants us to change? Is that kind of fruit? Are we following what Jesus said, following his commands because we love him? Is there fruit in that? And the second kind of fruit is the fruit of... Is it mine that's making that noise? Oh. Thank you, Paul.
No. Oh, hang on, I think I turned it off. Hello, are you on?
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, you can dance.
Okay. Feel like Britney Spears. I think we look the same. when we were sent to Thailand, we didn't know what we were going to do. And we don't always, because you go into a place where in some sense, we were not prepared for it. And in some sense, it's a good thing that we were not prepared for it, because we could have stick to a certain rule or a certain method. But the way that we try to make friendships, and out of a friendship, we will minister to the people. And it's maybe not the quickest way to build a church, because church normally build, you go and have evangelism things, and you will go and reach people. But we just felt it a different way. Make friends, and then out of the friendships, we to build the church. And the beautiful story out of that is that we didn't lose a lot of people. So the people that we had, they stayed, that came out of a friendship situation. So the people that with us is doing it the same way, out of a friendship, they will reach people. And but there's a saying that people that you reach, if you go to speak to somebody, but people that you reach, maybe you may be the only Jesus they will ever know. But no, but they will not see Jesus any other way. So wherever we go, we are there for a purpose. If we go to work, if we go to the sports field, if we go to the coffee shop, our workplace, if we go to Canada, or if we go to wherever, we are there for a purpose. God has prepared the way, and He's got the place already ready for where you should go. We should be obedient and listen to what God is saying and follow what He's saying. And we've got a young man called Fluke. He's not a fluke. He's definitely not a fluke. So his name is spelled the same way, F-L-O-O-K, but I always say I spelled the name wrong. He's about 19 years old now. We met him 2 years ago. We met him in at Nee's house, and we prayed for him. And then he would have gone to Bangkok to go and find work, to work for a certain amount of months before he start with college. So he went there, and he said when he got there, within a few days, he got work. And he worked there. So he came back about a year ago, and we saw him again, and we prayed for him. And then Nee told him about Jesus, and he said he wants to change his life. So he accepted Jesus. And it's just amazing the way that he understands the Bible. He will read the Bible, and then he will have a clear understanding of the Bible where people don't normally do it in Thailand. They struggle with understanding the Bible. So Nong Fluk will understand the Bible. So his mom passed away 2 months, 3 months ago. Yeah, I can't remember the dates. She passed away about 2 or 3 months ago. But before she passed away, we went and visited them quite often. And we will pray for her. And every time we pray for her, before we go, she will prepare herself, because she was bedridden. She had cancer. She was bedridden. The doctors didn't know, have anything. They couldn't do anything for her anymore, so they sent her home. And then every Wednesday before we go, she will tell the family, please prepare me. I want to be ready for when Barry and Liz and Nee come. So she will be ready and waiting. So we'll pray for her, and we share stories with her. And then a week or so, before, 10 days before she died, a fluke phoned Nee one day, and he asked Nee, he said, what shall I do? I feel like I must lead my mom to Jesus. And Nee said, why don't you do it? See, so he went back and he said, you know what? He said to his mom, you know that if you pass away, and you know Jesus, you will be with Jesus in heaven. She said, yes, certainly. So she prayed the prayer. It's a simple prayer. She prayed the prayer. And then a few days later, she passed away. But it didn't stop there. Nong Fluke is a beautiful sign of fruit. So his own mom was his first fruit in his life. And then since then, he's brought friends on. But he's telling wherever he goes, he's telling his friends about Jesus at college. He went to Bangkok to visit his friend in Bangkok, and there he told his friend about Jesus. And he said his friends are so interested that they also want to go to church now. So it's a beautiful story of someone that knows Jesus and just want to use his life to make the name of Jesus great. And for each one of us, I think if we, wherever we go, in the mornings, I tell our people in the mornings, that we should go out in the morning and you should ask God, please God, wherever I go this morning, please use me. Doesn't matter where I am, what I do, what if I ride on the bus, there's always somebody that you can have a conversation with. Somebody at work, somebody going through a difficult time. I would say, how often is it that you can just share a prayer with somebody? Even sometimes they wouldn't even know you're praying for them. Just pray for them. Because it's God doing the work. It's not us. Like Andre was saying this morning, he said, when you bring a message, it's not you that are doing the work. So you don't have to worry about your message and about the work. God's doing the work. We are just the waiter. And we are not just the waiter for bringing a message. I think we are a waiter for everywhere, anywhere we go. And if we can keep to that, how often is it? And then the last verse that say you can ask Jesus anything. I think it's the second last verse. You can ask Jesus anything. Psalm 2 verse 8 said, ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession. How awesome is that? That we can ask Jesus anything and ask Jesus, give us the nations. We ask Jesus to give us the nations. And we always, what was beautiful when we were still back in South Africa, we always said we were praying for the 1040 window. And we were part of a Dutch Reformed Church, but we had a missional part of the church. We were very missional. And then we will pray for the 1040 window. And we always pray for the 1040 window. God, let those people know you. Never did we know, but one day we will end up in the 1040 window. But we're part of the 1040 window. We had a stepping stone to Australia. We thought it's going to be a pebble, but it was a rock. And God did many things in those years in our lives, that God prepared us for what was coming. So never just see. One thing that we always remembered is that God said, wherever you go, treat it as if you will be there forever. Because if you treat it that way, you will not just say, God, let this go, let time go over. If you treat it that you're going to be there forever, you will allow God to do whatever he wants to do in your life. And we have beautiful Mac and Monica, or their family with us now, and we prayed and said, God, let this time that they're there, let it be a place where God do what he needs to do in their time for preparation for the future. Yeah. So wherever we go, we must allow God to do the work that he wants to do in our lives.